And now, the Unadulterated Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, we're on the podcast now, which is
live from the couch.
We've moved from the PC station to the couch, as it's week three.
It's week four.
Week four. It's the third episode. Week four. We missed one last week
because we're lazy bastards.
Yep. And Ben has just thrown pasta sauce all over the couch.
I have indeed.
Because we were eating our dinner.
I did it for a laugh, right?
Really. Yeah. So, let's introduce this week's podcast.
This week's podcast, for those interested, is about friendships.
Relationships.
And...
family.
Family, yeah.
The royal family.
Well, we can include the royal family if you want.
Just a bit. We'll slag them off. Mm. Call them names.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. You just have to excuse me a second while I eat the rest of my pasta.
Jay's eating the rest of his pasta. Very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional. Not good on the radio. We're now featured on iTunes.
We are, yep.
And you can download us directly from iTunes by clicking the link on my blog and theunadulterated.com if it's ever updated.
Yep, which it will be one of these days.
Yeah, we'll hurry the fuck up about it.
One thing I must ask you all to do, if you have enjoyed the unadulterated.com podcast, is to write a review. We only have one at the minute.
Who's it by?
It is by a guy called Bobby, I think.
Bobby, what's his surname?
Khan, I don't know.
You don't know? Are you not interested?
Of course I'm interested. You can't expect me to remember all of these things.
No. We've got through the mail back in a bit. We're also going to talk about the gay things.
Yeah.
You seem hesitant, do you not want to?
How many letters did we receive in the mailbag this week?
Seven?
I only know about two.
Do you?
Yeah.
Maybe it was two then.
No, because you didn't tell me about the other one, did you?
Which one?
I don't know, whichever one it was.
Yeah. I've deleted it now though, by accident.
Okay.
What was it about anyway? Forgotten?
About the blog, I would imagine.
Hmm. What did it say now?
I don't know, I didn't receive it.
Oh yeah, someone found it funny that you called the Queen a sponging bitch.
But she is a sponging bitch.
She is a sponging bitch, I agree. Stupid cow.
You've changed your tune.
Mm. I know.
Jay used to be a very big fan of the Queen.
I was a big fan of the royal family because I thought they brought a lot of money via tourism, and it was all about the system as well, and she was a part of our history, and you know, it's the whole institution and everything like that, but now I realise that she is a sponging bitch along with every one of other families. Yeah, it's members of a family. It's a load of crap.
Exactly.
It really is.
Yep.
And would you like to explain why she has the God-given right to go in first class?
She has the God-given right because of the divine rights of kings, which are given by God, apparently.
What does it actually say?
It was a big... You don't want me to go into this because I'll bore you to death. It was a big issue in the 1600s. With the trial and execution of King Charles. His main defence was that God had ordained him to be king and rule over the English population. And Oliver Cromwell said, no, sorry, that's a load of bollocks.
Oliver Cromwell was right, but... then, as soon as he got rid of the royal family, didn't he say, well, hang on a minute, I'm now going to declare myself king?
He didn't, no, he never declared himself king. They asked him to become, but he became Lord Protector of Great Britain, which apparently was a vast step away from being king. The reason it was a vast step away from being king is because he had divine rights over the UK, which weren't given to him by God, they were given to him by Parliament. And the way that worked was that when he died, his son and heir would become king. you know, in a way that was completely dissimilar to the royal family that had come before him.
Yeah, not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so would you rather us move into more of an, I don't know, a French or American way of...
Ooh, that's a very, very awkward way of putting it. No, I wouldn't like us to be more like America in the same way I wouldn't like us to be any more like the French. I think Canada have got it pretty spot on when it comes to comes to government, yeah.
Why Canada?
Well, they seem to abide by the no one wins unless everyone wins school of leadership.
Do Canada have like a compulsory voting system?
Elaborate.
Where every general election, yeah, it's compulsory for the citizens to vote.
I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Australia does. I don't agree with it, though.
No, I don't agree with the compulsory voting system. How do they go about people that don't vote?
Fine them.
They fine them? That's a bit... See, that's the thing with that is it doesn't promote democracy, because if you don't vote, the reason you could not be voting is that you don't agree with anybody that's standing for the election.
Yeah, but there should be a little box on there that you could say, I abstain.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose there should be, really.
But no government's going to introduce that, because then they'll just look humiliated when everybody clicks I abstain after they've introduced that little box.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. We should be doing more to promote independence, though, I think.
Independence from whom?
Independent parties. I mean, there are a couple that do quite well in the States, but I don't think we've got any majorly... We've not got any specific independent candidates that stand in the United Kingdom that we know of.
There was a guy who did that one in London, the Scottish guy.
George Galloway?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't think... He stood for MP. He didn't run in a presidential election the same way that, say, Ralph Nader did. And he actually got a fair percentage of the vote. I mean, it was probably the no vote that he got, but still.
All right, well, how interesting. Let's move on. let's forget politics.
That could be the subject of our debate. We could change it from family and friends to politics.
Now we've just totally alienated and made everyone switch off.
We haven't alienated and made everyone switch off. Politics is a very emotive subject. Dealt with in the right way, it could be our best cast yet.
Dealt with in the right way? Yeah, but you know more about it than me. Even though I did study politics in college.
No, I don't know more about it than you.
You know more about global politics.
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. I know a lot about previous politics. I mean...
I know how the system works now. I studied current political affairs in the United Kingdom at college.
Mm. Part of my degree is on... well, it was on American foreign policy, 38 to 89. So I know a lot about American politics from the beginning of the Second World War to the present day. But, you know...
But, America's foreign policy at the moment, what do you make of it? In fact, before you answer that question, I was watching the latest episode of American comedy. I think it was Malcolm in the Middle. You heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Malcolm in the Middle.
I don't recommend it, but still.
It was on TV yesterday, and I just thought, oh, what the hell, I'll watch it. And it was Malcolm, the star of the show, and he said to one of his girlfriends, yeah, well, you know, maybe we have got an arrogant attitude, but we run the world. I thought, America doesn't run my country.
Unfortunately, I think that's quite a prudent comment.
Elaborate.
I think it's an awful thing to admit, but at the minute, America does have a hell of a lot of influence.
But they don't run our country.
They don't run our country, no, but when you've got somebody like Tony Blair, which is so up George Bush's arse that they may as well do it.
Not anymore. It might have been a few years ago.
I don't know. The special relationship seems to be very one-sided.
What do you think the reason is? Because it can't do Tony Blair any favours in the terms of popularity contests.
I think it's a strange relic from the Second World War, when Winston Churchill felt that we needed America's help to save Europe from the Nazis.
But why do you think Tony Blair, of all people, who's a very individually minded person, licking George Bush's anus?
I don't know. Some very, very intelligent people have a lot of strange opinions on a lot of things. I think that's just one of the weird things that Tony Blair has.
Do you think I'm camp? As in flamboyant?
No.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I'm very gay.
Right, okay. Where did that come from?
I just thought of it then because when I listen to these podcasts back, I always think I have a really, really gay voice. Do you?
Yes, I think I have a really, really gay voice whenever I listen to the podcast back.
Yeah, the fact is I like Tony Blair, but I don't like George Bush.
I don't like either of them.
I thought you said earlier that Tony... You said to me...
No, I said Tony Blair seems to be a nice person, but he's a bad politician. The reason I think he's a bad politician is because during the war in Iraq, Tony Blair consistently said, you know, the people of the UK may be against it, but I think that sending forces into Iraq was the right thing to do, and is the right thing to do. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you were elected by the vast majority of the people in your country to run the country, what you think isn't the issue. Tony Blair said he sent troops into Iraq because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Okay,
you,
well,
you can't say that.
You've also
and
said
then
that
claim,
about George Bush.
You can't say that and then claim to represent your country if the vast majority of your country don't think it's the right thing to do.
I agree with you 100%. And, just point of interest, you've also said that about George Bush. You said that George Bush is a bad president, but you think he's an alright person.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's a bad president?
Why do I think he's a bad president?
Because he didn't go against the entire... 50% of his population voted for him, and 50% of his population wanted the war. So,
that's
not against everyone, the majority.
When you've got the amount of money that the Republican Party has, and the amount of influence, and when you're already in power, it's not a hell of a difficult task to persuade the relevant percentage of your population that war is the right thing to do. Because, you know, the amount of legislation that the Republicans have passed since they've been in goes towards a lot of these things. It's all geared towards, you know, it's when you're in power, you have more chance of persuading the population that what you think is right than you do when you're an independent or you're a fringe party.
Party?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So we've totally talked about politics so far.
No, we haven't. Yeah, well, that could be. That's our new thing now. Politics. This is the politics.
Cast.
Yeah.
Podcast. Is that the word you're looking for?
Politics podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
For this week, that's our topic.
Yeah. So you chose a name, unadulterated.com podcast.
I did.
Why did you choose unadulterated?
Unadulterated. I don't know. It's sort of. Uncensored, isn't it? Unadulterated. Uncensored.
Without influence.
Without influence, yeah.
Unadulterated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, the word itself could mean other things.
It could mean other things.
As adultery?
It could mean adultery, yeah, but adultery could mean a number of things.
Yes, it could.
It could.
I don't agree with the religion.
Which we will discuss in
another
podcast. Okay, United Kingdom politics. Which party would you vote for in the next general election and why?
But the Americans don't know the party system.
You're assuming that all our... well, explain it then.
A lot of our listeners are American.
Well, explain the United Kingdom.
I would vote politics. Tony Blair because he has done a lot for gay rights. And at the end of the day, I'm gay. And what I wanted from a very young age is gay equality. And while we might be far from that, the government has done a lot to help it in the fact that they've got equal rights in the workplace. Gays can now get married to a degree. You can't be discriminated against for being gay. It's, you know, they've done quite a lot, really. Tony Blair and the Labour Party. I mean, Tony Blair's got a lot of gay friends. And he has done a lot for the gay
people.
Yeah,
but you can't just use that as a reason for Tony Blair being a good Prime Minister.
I'm not saying he's a good Prime Minister. You asked me who would I vote for, and I said Tony Blair.
Look at Clement Attlee in the 1940s and 50s.
Was he a Prime Minister?
He was Prime Minister. He was he was Prime Minister for the Labour Party at the end of the Second World War. And he did a hell of a lot. He introduced the first National Health Service. He did a load for poor people. You know, he was really, really good on that side. He was a very socialist, caring
person.
And
that's a good thing to vote for him for.
That is a good thing to vote for him for. But at the same time, he seeded our entire economy based on the debt we'd racked up during the war to the United States, which screwed us over for the next 50 years. we're still reeling from that to this day. Does that make Clement Attlee a viable voting candidate in a general election?
Has he helped the people?
Has he helped the people, but he didn't help the country.
If he helped the people, then that's what's more important.
He helped the people then, he didn't help the people now. And
yeah, but
I
agree with that.
Yeah, but I think as a Prime Minister, you have to have long-term plans as well as short-term plans. And
yes,
Clement Attlee didn't.
Tony Blair does.
Tony Blair doesn't, though.
He does, though. He does see for the future. In fact, a lot of his policies and laws that he's introducing right now won't come into effect, and they won't go through the system and be signed off by Her Majesty the Queen until after he's left office.
One thing I will say about Tony Blair, and this is one of my examples about plans for the future, is that in terms of education, Tony Blair, from the day he came into power, has said he wanted to make it more accessible to all classes of people. The way he has now set about doing that is by charging the people that can get there currently more, so that he can give free university education to the people that couldn't originally afford it. Which sounds good in theory, but the fact of the matter is, he's pricing the people that originally could afford it out of the market, so they can no longer afford to go.
It was like that with me in college, actually, because I wasn't eligible for government money because my parents earned too much, and a lot of other people were. I wasn't impressed a bit. All my friends were getting like a load of money a week from the government, and I wasn't eligible for it because my mum and dad were earning too much.
What happened with me last month, actually, at university, I got a letter through the post which basically said that they'd reassessed my financial situation based on my parents' income. Not only were they no longer going to give me any help towards tuition fees, but at the same time as reducing the amount they'd give me towards tuition fees, they reduced the amount of loan I was eligible to, which meant that they decided to charge me more but give me less money to pay for it.
So what are you doing? You asking them, is your dad helping you?
They are helping me to an extent. I mean, the fact of the matter is, since that happened, I've put up my days that I work by 75% to help me pay for the university education. And, you know, the fact is...
Is that Tony Blair's fault?
It is. The fact is, my education is now suffering because I have to work to stay in university, which means that to stay in university, I have had to sacrifice the potential of getting a high grade.
Is it Tony Blair's fault or the government's fault?
Tony Blair, as the head of the government, holds a lot of responsibility. I mean, Tony Blair fully supports the tuition top-up fees.
Well, it was his idea, wasn't it?
It was his idea, so it is his fault, because it was his idea.
Yeah, but it's the government, really, isn't it? He's just the prime minister. They're all ministers, and he's the prime one. He's the head of the state. You've got not the head of the state, but the head of the thing. You've got to have a leader in some respect. It's true that human nature, you've got to have a leader. Even in, you know, you can put people in, you can banish them onto different islands, and they're all going to have,
yeah, but that's,
they're all going to elect their own leader. It's,
yeah,
the fact of the matter is, you've got to have a leader. It just
that,
happens to be
that's
him.
Not to say that you can't have good leaders and bad leaders, though.
That's true. I still think he's a very good leader. He's a good speaker as well.
Yeah, but what, there's a huge difference between being a good leader and a good speaker, and a good decision maker and a good policy maker.
The good thing about Tony Blair being a good speaker is the fact that he writes a lot of his own speeches. You get people like George Bush that will get speechwriters for him.
But the thing you have to remember there is that if we're talking about good speakers that wrote all of their own speeches, the first person that springs to my mind is Adolf Hitler. He was a fantastic speaker.
Was he?
He wrote all of his own speeches.
Really?
Yeah. That didn't make him, you know, that didn't make him right when he came to power and killed 6.5 million Jews.
That's true. He was a very evil man. But some of his policies were good.
Some of his policies were good, but it didn't automatically make him a good person to lead a country.
On the whole, was Adolf Hitler a bad person?
On the whole, was Adolf Hitler a bad person? Yeah.
On the whole,
Adolf Hitler was probably one of the best politicians ever to live, because despite the fact that the guy admittedly had several mental problems and had absolutely...
He admittedly had that.
Had absolutely appalling ideals, he still managed to get into power and become so powerful and worshipped.
He was worshipped. It was right, when I was studying history, my history tutor told me that during some of the rallies that he had, where mainly him and some of his right-hand man got the crowd going by whipping them, and then they'd hear some screams, and then the rest of the crowd would cheer along. So just a few of the crowd got whipped, and then the rest would think it was cheering. Is that true?
I can't say I've ever heard in my entire career as a student of history that particular stance on the enthusiasm of crowds at Nazi rallies.
I want you to answer one of my questions now that I've been trying to answer for a while myself. It's true that Adolf Hitler had some good policies.
Yeah.
What policies were they?
Well, see, this is the interesting thing about Adolf Hitler is that at the time he was in power, a lot of the policies he introduced were mirrored directly by Franklin Roosevelt in the United States. Franklin Roosevelt developed what was known in the 1930s as the Works Progress Administration.
Was it the ABCs?
It was the alphabet agencies, which were designed to combat the Depression and put people back in work. Now, Hitler did exactly the same thing at more or less the same time by basically giving people jobs in exchange for food and clothing and shelter and accommodation. And they built massive programs like the Works Progress Administration in America built things like the Hoover Dam and things like that, which, you know, was an absolutely massive, phenomenal project. Similar things in Germany built things like the Autobahns and things like that, which were then used for deployment of troops during the Second World War. A lot of it was to do with getting ready for war in 1939.
Did the Allies know about Hitler trying to get ready for war by doing this?
Yeah.
Or they suspected it?
No, they didn't suspect it. They knew it. If anyone that sat down and read Hitler's political testament, which was basically, you know, Mein Kampf,
yeah,
which was written while he was in while he was in prison in 1923, I think it was. He basically laid out everything that he then went and did during the next 20 years. Anyone that read it could see that that's what was coming.
Do you think Hitler committed suicide, or did you think he fled somewhere else? I think he committed suicide.
I think he committed suicide. I think the reason the mystery still remains is the fact that the Cold War was already coming by the end of the Second World War, and Stalin did everything he could to try and make the British and the Americans think that Hitler had fled even after the body had been found, and that's actually a fact.
So I heard that the Russians have a bit of Adolf Hitler's skull, is that true?
The Russians had the entire remains of what was presumed to be Adolf Hitler until the early to mid-1950s, I think. I'm not sure what they actually did with him, though. I'll have to read up on that one.
Yeah, and let us know.
I will do.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Politics and history. It's quite an interesting debate.
So we went from current politics to...
to past politics.
20th century history.
The Cold War is a very interesting period.
I agree. Well, Britain wasn't actually a major thing in it, was it?
Britain was an aircraft carrier for the United States during the Cold War.
In history, when I was studying history, a lot of the students said that... well, no, I tell a lie. Not a lot of the students. Some of the students said that we should become a 51st state of the United States. And some of the students also said that we should move away from the United States and we should join Europe and create, eventually, move together, start the foundations of a one European state.
I would agree with the latter.
You know what? So would I.
I think you're...
not necessarily because I'm not anti-American in the slightest.
No, I'm not. I think the thing that worries me at the minute is the fact that America has the ability to take unilateral action on behalf of the entire world simply because it's the United States and it has that much influence. The fact is, the single European currency and the European Economic Community was originally devised to become a counterpart to the American economy, which was so prevalent in the world at the time.
The fact of the matter is that the American economy is going to be taken over in the next 2 or 3 years by another country, and the American economy will no longer be the strongest economy in the world.
China is becoming very, very strong at the minute.
It's not going to be, America isn't going to be the strongest economy in the world in a couple of years' time. And
it won't be. I don't think we can agree with that small extremist party inside of American politics which thinks that this is going to be the new American century. Because when you look at places like China, which are vastly, you know, they're expanding at an absolutely phenomenal rate economically.
The thing is with China, though, is the people of China, they're poles apart. I mean, some are at the lowest end of the scale and they barely make ends meet and they're struggling for survival. And there's others that are living the life of luxury, you know, they've got the life of Riley, and they call themselves communist.
China's very strange, actually, because it still claims to be communist, yet it makes these huge concessions which are so far away from communism that it's untrue.
The world has never seen true communism, though.
The world has never seen, no, because in an enlightened state where everybody accepted that everybody else was equal, communism would work.
I agree, true communism, where everybody is equal, would work. And I think the reason why people go against communism is because of basically propaganda, very clever marketing by the government of the Western world after the Second World War, and they tried to make out communism was really bad to go against the Soviets or whatever, and it's kind of stuck in people's heads. It's been passed down from the generations and that, but the fact of the matter is that communism, true communism, probably would work if everyone was equal, but it won't work until humans have evolved enough.
I think, you know, going off that, one of the great quotes about modern communism and the communism we get in the world today is that the one universal truth about communism is that everybody suffers as much as everybody else. And I think that's probably what people fear. I mean, I had a conversation about communism with somebody the other night, and we were talking about, there's been a case in Britain recently where there's been a woman dying of breast cancer, and she can't afford the drug that would save her life. So she's applied for it on the NHS, and it's a very expensive drug.
The National Health Service is free of charge for all United Kingdom taxpayers.
There you go. And the reason it's a very expensive drug is because this drug saves lives. And the company that produce it know that people will pay anything to stay alive.
What is it?
It's, I can't remember what the name of it is. It's known as the super drug, though, isn't it?
Well, what's it for?
It's for cancer.
For cancer?
She's got breast cancer and she desperately, she desperately needs this drug.
I've heard this story.
And she can't afford it, so she's applied for it on the NHS.
Now, National Health Service.
Now, the court has ruled that the National Health Service will not pay for it for her, which basically, you know, to anyone's mind, is a death sentence for this woman, because she can't afford the drug that'll save her life.
So the court has ruled that they're not going to pay for it.
Nor will the government provide it for her, so she's going to die because of it. And basically, my argument in using that as an example for communism is the fact that if we were in a true communist state, people would realise that with everybody being equal, that drug would be produced, and because it was life saving, we'd look at it and think, fantastic, this drug needs to be produced cheaper. As it is, the company today thinks, great, this drug saves lives, we can charge as much as we want for it.
The thing is,
and this woman's going to die because of that.
If that woman was rich enough, she'd probably have to pay for it herself, and the fact she's not rich, she can't pay for it herself.
This is the thing, that's why she's applied for it on the NHS.
Do you know how much it is?
The National Health Service aren't going to give it to her.
Do you know how much it is?
I don't know how much it is, no.
I just want to know how much, you know, so I could put it in comparison to see if I would be able to afford it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might not necessarily be able to afford it, but you could at least, you know, get it out on credit card or something.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I think it's absolutely pathetic, though, that a life-saving drug of that much importance is deemed to be, because it's similar to blackmail or ransoming someone, really.
It's being flippant with human life.
It's saying, you know, if you can't afford to buy this drug from us, then your life isn't worth saving. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is completely inhuman.
Well, I'm just going to go get a drink from the kitchen.
Jamie's disappeared off. He can't stand the inhumanity of this story.
No, the thing is, it's basically being flippant with human life.
It is being flippant with human life. Is. But having said that, I think that is the universal attitude of most governments these days. It's a sad fact that you have these governments in these, you know, Central African republics, and I mean, this is nothing against Central African republics, but you have places like Zimbabwe ruled by people like Robert Mugabe, which are absolutely ridiculous. But the Western world is becoming more and more like these places every day. I mean, America Online have put an advert out recently about
AOL.
The internet and politics and things like that. And the tagline for the advertisement is, "Are we tiptoeing? Are we sleepwalking into a dictatorship?" And the sad fact is that there is actually an argument to say yes.
Well, obviously, yeah. I don't necessarily think in this country.
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah, I do. It's not a dictatorship, is it?
No, it's not a dictatorship.
I mean, you can only have democracy so far. I mean, we have an election every 5 years or less. But are you going to the toilet, Ben?
I'm going to the toilet. After I come back, though, topic for discussion: universal ID cards.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, we have an election. I'm talking to myself here. We have an election every 5 years. And, you know, that's democracy enough. You can't, I mean, if it was, I mean, I'm sure total democracy, I don't know if Ben would agree with me, but it'd be something where every policy that the government puts forward before it's actually law, or every bill that's put forward in Parliament in the United Kingdom, it would get a vote on by the British public. In theory, that would work as democracy, but in practice, nobody would turn up to vote. I mean, people have no time to vote as it is. I mean, they can't even be bothered to vote every 5 years. I think attendance voting is about 30% as it is, let alone voting for every law that goes through. It wouldn't happen. So in theory it would happen, in practice it wouldn't. So I don't know about that. Ben's coming back from the toilet, he's just walking in the room.
My point about that would be...
Did you hear everything I said then?
Yeah.
Is the toilet that close?
There's a certain name I hesitate to mention in political debates.
It's not Tony Benn, is it?
No, because it makes a lot of people instantly disagree and instantly switch off, because his credibility has been absolutely destroyed over the last few years.
Does everyone know about him?
They do. Well, I wouldn't say everyone knew about him, but a lot of people do. A certain Michael Moore once suggested...
Michael Moore, could you like to give us a... He's a left-wing American.
Michael Moore is a left-wing American. He's
filmmaker.
He's a documentary filmmaker. I, particularly, am not a big fan of Michael Moore.
You was?
I was a big fan of Michael Moore, but, you know...
He's laughing all the way to the bank.
He's laughing all the way to the bank. But one of the things he did say, which I agree with, in terms of American politics, and increasingly so in terms of British politics, is that he thought that the Republicans and the Democrats, because they had policies that were so similar, should merge together to make one universal Republican party and make way for a second party which actually had different ideals. Now, you know, as joking as he may have been with that statement, in terms of world politics, in countries like the United States and the United Kingdom, our parties now, the policies are becoming so similar that a lot of people will think, when the election time comes around every 4 or 5 years, why should I go out and bother voting when there's not actually a party out there that I feel represents me?
Yeah, but you're never going to get a party that actually 100% represents you anyway, are you?
Well, you're going to get a party where you can think, well, this party stands for that, and this party stands for that. As it stands, you know, you look at all these policies, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party in Great Britain have a hell of a lot in common. They have too much in common for the rival political parties, in the same way that the Democrats and the Republicans do.
That's true. Do you think they are so similar, though, the Republicans and the Democrats in America?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Do you think, we're talking a lot about, well, not talking about a lot about America, we're talking a bit about America today, and a lot of foreign policies and a lot of foreign governments today. Do you think that other countries, such as France, or the United States of America, or Germany, or Russia, or other countries, know as much as Britain does about foreign governments? in their education system.
No, but at the same time, I wouldn't say the United States knew as much as Britain does about foreign governments. I think one of the things I always used to complain about when I was at college, and this isn't because I am, you know, patriotic, because as you well know, I hate patriotism.
I do.
It's one of my pet peeves. I think it's absolutely pathetic. But one of the things I was always slightly annoyed about when I studied history at college, and now when I'm studying history at degree level, is the fact that every day we study American politics, American foreign policy, we study German militaristic behaviour in the late 1800s, we study the, you know, the unification of Italy.
This year at university?
Yeah, we study everything bar anything to do with the history of the United Kingdom and Great Britain. We don't do that much about the country that we come from. And I think, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's very important to know a lot about international history.
One of the biggest things I remember about history was the Night of the Long Knives, and that was German.
The Night of the Long Knives.
Sorry, that was my text message.
That was your text message. The Night of the Long Knives. Why do you remember the Night of the Long Knives?
Because it just seemed like a very interesting thing at the time, and it was a bit of a scandal, and I just remember the teacher, I think it was my dad, the teacher that was teaching at me at the time, he made it sound very interesting, and it was quite interesting, that's all. Would you like to tell us what the Night of the Long Knives is?
The Night of the Long Knives, for anybody who is interested or doesn't know, or both, was a rather strange occurrence in political history. It happened in Germany in the 1930s. It was basically a government-sponsored reign of terror against its own members. Adolf Hitler.
Its own members, as in what? Members of parliament or country?
Well, Adolf Hitler, in his rise to power, came up with a rather large organisation of bodyguards known as the Brown Shirts. They swelled in ranks absolutely phenomenally during his rise to power. There was that, and the SA, they were called.
The SA, what does that stand for?
It stands for the Sturmabteilung.
In English?
In English, it's just basically the Stormtroopers. And those were his political thugs during his rise to power. When he came to power, however, he preferred the protection of his own personal bodyguard, which were the SS, the Schutzstaffel, led by Heinrich Himmler. And to prevent his own bodyguard from overthrowing him once he came to power, he organised for his own personal bodyguard to murder, kill and imprison the members of his original group all on one night. So you basically had this night where across Germany a lot of people were killed and imprisoned simply because they'd supported the Nazi regime in its rise to power. That was the Night of the Long Knives.
Well, there you go, it's a very good thing. It's quite interesting, I'm sure. But there was something I was going to say then, but I totally forgot what it was.
Well, you brought up the Night of the Long Knives. You said it was the...
I was just mentioning off the cuff remark about, you know, being one of the...
period of history that you most remembered.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I mean, I do actually really enjoy history, and especially modern history. I'm not so bothered about 1066. I mean, 1066 is a British thing where, you know, it has something to do with France,
it was the Battle of Hastings. Britain was invaded by France, and France succeeded.
Yeah, so France, did they take the monarchy of Britain?
They did.
Well, to this day?
The thing with that is, it was William of Normandy which invaded Britain.
Wasn't Normandy part of Britain?
Normandy was part of Britain
in
at
France.
The time.
Normandy's in France.
Normandy in northern France was part of Britain at the time that William came over and invaded Britain. So technically we weren't invaded by the French.
So we wasn't, but we were invaded by the French, basically. Wasn't we?
Yeah.
We was. Technically we wasn't, but we was actually invaded by France in 1066.
We were invaded by an army which came from northern France.
Yeah. and they took the monarchy. Is it to this day that they took the monarchy?
A lot of things have happened over the years with the British monarchy. I will tell you more, but...
You're fair of alienating and boring everyone.
No, I'll tell you more, but with the current educational syllabus focusing on American and German history, I don't actually know.
You did learn it in about when you was about 16 years old, though. Something I want to mention is, during, I think it was either the First or Second World War, the British monarchy had a German name, as in it was a German ancestry name, surname, and they changed the name so that people wouldn't hate the monarchy, and they changed it to Windsor. Now the Queen's surname is Windsor. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true.
Would you like to explain that? I'm quite interested in that.
To be honest, I'm not too sure. I know that the Habsburg family, which originated in the German area during the they've been there for ages. They ruled over the Holy Roman Empire. They ruled over Spain. They ruled over a lot of places in the sort of 1600s, 1700s, and it was this one family which had a hell of a lot of influence in Europe. I don't know whether it originated from there. Jamie's just disappeared off.
Just going to the toilet.
Leaving me in the depths of a historical period which I have never studied.
I've got an idea. Talk about the gay things.
Completely off topic. Jay wants me to talk about the gay things. As an aside, I'm not a sad freak. I have studied for a Bachelor of Arts in International History, which is why I know a few things about history. I'm just sat here waiting for Jay to come back to talk about politics a little more. One of my own personal qualms about current British politics is the idea of ID cards, which the government is currently proposing everybody carry. The reason behind this is that by taking your ID, DNA, etc., etc., if everybody carries a small piece of plastic the size of a credit card, the British government believes it will completely and entirely eradicate global terrorism.
I don't think that's the main reason behind it.
I cannot see how this will work.
It won't work. I can't see, and that's not the main reason behind it, the fact that they're going to introduce ID cards to combat global terrorism.
They're going to introduce ID cards to combat terrorism within the United Kingdom. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, a passport is enough of an ID card anyway, and if you can get into the United Kingdom without a passport, you can surely get in without an ID card.
Yeah, but didn't ID cards work during World War II in the United Kingdom, to a degree?
To a degree, but, you know, it's not the same thing. The only reason ID cards worked in Britain during the Second World War is because you had curfews and things like that, and if you were caught out on the road after curfew, the policeman could say, "Can I see your ID card, please?" And if you didn't have one, you were deemed to be a German spy. You know, without a curfew, we can't say, "Oh, can I see your ID card, please?" "No, sorry, I've left it home." "Okay, then, you're with Al-Qaeda. We're going to put you in a war-style concentration camp." What exactly are we going to do with people that don't carry ID cards? Find them, put them away. If we do find them, will that stop terrorism?
Well, I think it's more other things as well. Fraud, it's anti-fraud and that. I mean, I don't agree with the government.
Chip and pin is anti-fraud. You're not going to stop somebody stealing your identity by carrying an ID card.
The fact of the matter is, in my own personal opinion, I wouldn't refuse to have an ID card. What I would refuse to do is what the government plan on doing, is making you pay for one. And if you don't pay for one, then you're breaking the law by not having one. I wouldn't pay for one. They're charging £80, and I think that's something like $160 in the United States, I think. I wouldn't ever pay for an ID card because I wouldn't choose to have one. I'll have one if they want me to have one, but I would not pay for one, and I would stand firm and I'd go to court and not have one. I'd rather pay another £80 in cost, double the money for the court, than actually pay for an ID card.
I'll tell you what else, I completely agree with you on that one. But I'll tell you what else.
What, do you agree that you would have one if they were free?
No, I wouldn't have one if they were free.
Well, I would, but I wouldn't pay for one. This is quite nice, this Guinness, actually.
I wouldn't have one if they were free, and I wouldn't pay for one.
We're drinking Guinness.
I'll tell you another thing I completely disagree with. The thing they're trying to bring in by stealth at the minute, and one of the ways they're doing this, is they've passed a law now which means that if you are taken into custody under the age of 16 and not arrested, if they take your fingerprints or a DNA sample and don't actually arrest you, they keep your DNA sample.
I don't agree
record.
With that at all.
Now, the reason they're doing this is they're trying to build a national DNA database by stealth. And whether it's by stealth or not, I think the idea of a national DNA database is categorically wrong.
So, but what, there's some arguments that some people would say, and that's this, and I want you to tell me what your opinion is on this. If you have nothing to hide, then why hide it?
A lot of people say, if you have nothing to hide, then what are you worried about? The fact of the matter is, we're edging closer and closer into some sort of Orwellian vision of the future, where the government knows everything about us, whether or not we want them to. I mean, we're very close to them taking our fingerprints and DNA at birth, without asking anybody's permission to keep on a database, so that they can, you know, check up on us whenever they want to. It's categorically wrong whether or not you've done anything wrong anyway, because it's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, really. I don't think we should have a national database of DNA and photos and what have you. I mean, there is other things to combat fraud, etc. So it's down to Tony Blair to a degree, and in a way I don't agree with Tony Blair in that respect, but then again, you know, like I said, he's made gay marriage legal, equal rights. You can be, you know, you can get in trouble now with the law for discriminating against gays in society, which is a good thing. And in the last election, I did vote for Tony Blair's party because of that. Who did you vote for?
In the last general election, I voted for the Liberal Democrats, which is the United Kingdom, I wouldn't say fringe party, because they really are becoming quite big again now.
I don't know, it could be quite of a wasted vote.
No, the Liberal Democrats were huge. Well, when they were the Liberals, they were huge. Then they kind of went down a bit when the Labour Party came along. But, you know, I don't think there's any such thing as a wasted vote. I could either not vote, or I could vote for the Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, the Liberal Democrats is an equivalent of the United States party there. I mean, the United States is a bit of a two-party system. We're a bit of a three-party system.
We'll be three-party within the next 15, 20 years anyway.
You think?
Yeah, the Liberal Democrats are absolutely working on this at the minute. They're getting bigger by the year. I mean, I'm not sure. They've had a bit of a rough time at the minute with Charles Kennedy. Charles Kennedy being the leader of the Liberal Democrats, who is a recovered alcoholic, but it came out recently that he had been an alcoholic, and even though he had recovered from it, he was forced to resign, which I thought was shameful. Not for him, but for politics in general.
Well, you know what? I've just looked how long we've been on, and we've been on for about 45 minutes, I think. Can't even see it for me. 46 minutes. And that's a hell of a long time we've chatted. That's quite a long time. We've had a good conversation, really.
We have, yeah, we have. So, you've wrote a little note down here.
We've still got to do before the hour's up. I mean, our podcasts only last for about 55 minutes, don't they? I must admit, last podcast was probably the worst podcast we've ever done.
Out of the two.
Yeah. This is the third. But out of the two that we'd already done, it's probably the worst one. We've still got blog of the week to go. It's not necessarily the best blog that there is on the internet this week. It's more of the one that caught our attention.
It's more of a random blog that comes to mind as the blog of the week subject comes up.
Yeah, it is. And then we've also got to do the mailbag, which we'll have to move over towards the personal computer.
Okay. Have you a blog of the week this week?
I have an idea. Do you?
I've
not really got one in mind, to be honest with you. You've got one. That's good, because I don't actually have one.
I have got one in mind. I'm going to do something very clumsy now and move the microphone over to the computer so I can see it.
So we're just going to move it. Now we're at the computer now. That didn't take long, really, did it? Do you want to grab a chair?
I would like to sit down so I can type in the address so I can see what the address of the
book is. Go and get a chair, and I'll talk to the listeners.
Okay, you talk to listeners while I get typing.
So we're doing blog of the week, and basically, like Ben said, this isn't necessarily
this isn't necessarily a blog that is the best blog, although I'm sure it is. It's the blog of the week is a blog that's caught our eye, or caught one of our eyes, and is quite... Yeah, they pulled their eye out. Oh, bloody hell, look at that. The website is, Ben just got it up, it's www.ktfinger.co.uk. And I will spell that. It's K-A-T-I-E, F for Freddy, I-N-G-E-R.co.uk. ktfinger.co.uk. Is it .co.uk?
It is .co.uk. Katie Finger collects hugs at the top of her blog as well. She has 2,150 at the minute.
Hugs? As in a cuddle? Yeah.
Yep, you have to click the button and give her a hug.
2,150?
Should we give her a hug?
Yeah, give her
a hug. Let's give her a hug.
I don't understand that.
Add more hugs. There you go. Oh, it says 2,151 hugs now. There we go.
I don't understand that. What do you mean, hugs?
Basically, you put a button on the top of your website which basically says, give me hugs. And everyone that visits your website clicks on it to give you a hug.
Oh wow!
You see how many hugs you can get.
So we're looking at Katie Finger's blog. I don't understand why she's called Katie Finger.
Katie
Basically,
Finger.
I'm just going to read the slogan there. She realised as a girl of 8 that if she sat down and wrote her stories, she could escape the parts of life she didn't like, embroider the parts she did, and thus control the life she had.
That's a good slogan.
That is actually I do like that. So we've got, just to fit this in, we've got 9 minutes to go, so you've got, still got the mailbag
you
as well.
You don't know why she's called Katie Finger. It took me 2 years to work.
You've been reading it for 2 years?
No, she's been a friend of mine for 2 years.
Oh right. And was she called Katie Finger on something like...
She's always been called Katie Finger, yeah.
Is she called Katie?
No.
She's called Finger?
No.
No, she's not called Finger. Her name is Elizabeth, apparently. Elsabeth.
Her interests are consuming vodka, cocktails, laughing at kids she works with, romping with the bloke.
Oh, she's straight.
Stroking her pussy.
Oh.
Sleeping unsoundly, jumping in puddles, staring adoringly at tattoos on buses, dreaming innocently and worrying incestuously.
Telling you to fuck off in my head, watching you.
Stop.
Her enterprise is religion, paranoia, corporate tourism. Muddlesomeness.
Is that enterprise or expertise?
It is expertise. where did I read it? Expertise, yeah. Sorry, it's religion, paranoia, corporate whorism, muddlesomeness, Englishness, post-menstrual stress, and sarcasm. Occupation, education, training. Well, I'm glad you know her and I don't, because religion and the whorism and the... stroking the pussy, I don't agree with. Although I don't mind incest.
Worrying incessantly.
Oh, incessantly. Did I say incest?
You do say incest.
Do you think I've had too many beers?
No.
No, I do. So why have you chosen this one as blog of the week, Ben?
I think it makes me laugh. I think it's quirky.
She likes
Snape.
She does like Harry Potter. Snape of Harry Potter. I love Snape. I eat Snape.
No, it just says I Snape. It's the iPod logo, but with Snape's done next to it. I Snape.
Does she like Professor Snape of the Harry Potter film and book?
She does very much so, yes.
Mm. Well,
it's a very, I'd say it was quite a unique blog.
It is unique. It's done on Zanga.
It is done on Zanga.
I don't like Zanga though.
But it's done quite well for a Zanga blog. I think she probably subscribes. I think she pays a monthly fee because it looks quite professional, doesn't it?
It looks edited.
It does look edited.
It's not the standard
Zanga crappy
code
for
templates.
Yeah, template. Yeah. I should have a link on there somewhere. Have a look in the links. Go up a bit. Stop. Down. Up. I'm a must have a link somewhere, surely.
Well, I'm sure you do have a link to that website. I'm not going to sit here looking at it. It's not really that good for radio, to be honest.
It is for me.
I mean, have a look at that website. It's quite good. Why is it good, though? You've not actually told us why it's any good.
Because it's quirky and unique, and it makes me laugh, and it makes me think, and it's quite a good, unique blog.
Good. You have actually been looking at this one for quite a while. I'm sure you have actually mentioned her to me before now.
You have to be of a certain mind to appreciate Elizabeth's blog.
Well, I've actually never visited it, so maybe I'll have a look at it from now on. But it does look alright. She's a bit... She knows what she wants to say.
She does know what she wants to say.
I quite admire that, because I think I'm quite similar. I'll say it. But my dad always says to me, metaphorically, I'll walk through the door before I even opened it. And sometimes, because I know what I want to say, I say it that much without even thinking that I could offend people. Therefore, I walk through the door before I even opened it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
that's what my dad says.
That's
really
quite a good one, yeah.
So there you go. There's katiefinger.co.uk.
Yeah.
Interesting blog.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
It makes me interested.
Yeah, so there you go, that's live.
Are you going to finish the rendition for us?
No, who was that by anyway, do you know?
It was by one of the Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. I got called cute today.
Oh.
By Anhoni Patel.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Yeah, she's nice here. She reminds you of Antonia, your girlfriend.
She does, actually.
I don't know why.
In some ways.
So she said, what did she say? She said, you're so cute. Okay, that's it. So there you go, you know, that's life. Should we look at the mailbag? I can't actually find any emails we got from our previous podcast.
And Holly Patel also says that giving a guy a blowjob in the lavatory is hot. What does she mean by that?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but on my blog, I did mention that one of the most awkward romantic experiences I've ever had is getting caught giving a lad I'd just met a blowjob in the toilets of a bar in the gay scene where I live locally.
Now, that doesn't sound too romantic to me.
Well, I did also say that it's not really romantic, but it will do.
Well, you know, if it'll do.
It'll do. It's not that romantic, but it was long ago.
So what have you in your bulging sack this week?
Well, my sack of mail. Get it? Checking the mail. Bit of an Eminem quote there.
No,
we don't like Eminem, do we?
No, we don't.
Oh well. There you go. I can't actually find anything in the mailbag because I've removed them all from my inbox and put them elsewhere, and I can't remember where.
Terrible.
But I'm sure. What's his name? Who commented last week? What was he called?
I don't know.
Oh crap! He was called. Honestly, can't remember what he was called. Did we do the podcast this month? The unadulterated podcast, the first one,
yes.
Or the second one?
Yeah, it was this month. No. Yes.
Because I actually did comment.
Have a look. You've got it up.
No, but that was on the second one he commented
on.
Oh, you've got it on
the second one, did you?
Oh, well, I'll remember his name anyway from the first one. And I will. That got 13 comments.
13 comments.
That was a lot of.
None of them mentioned me.
No. Charlie. His name was Charlie.
Oh, and the chocolate factory, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Charlie's a nice guy. Charlie, who I wish, if you're listening, Charlie, email me your blog address because it was actually good. If it's the same Charlie I'm thinking of, it might not be. You know, the chances are. tell us what you're laughing at.
God, it's me. That's what I'm saying.
That's not what you think. Ben was just laughing because as I clicked on Google search then, it brought down a Dropbox.
It brought down a Dropbox.
Of the search history.
Of previous search terms that Jay had used.
And what were they?
Some of them were quite graphic.
Including?
Cock, suck, cock.
But that was just for searching for a particular blog.
Was it indeed?
Yeah, there's a blog, right, well I'll prove it. There's a blog called as in O-H, la, as in L-A-L-A, it says oh la, as in French, Paris,
.com. There you go then.
And that's quite a good blog. In fact, we'll make that blog of the week next week. And
I think our podcast this week has been different to the previous two.
I think our podcast has been brilliant. Anyway, for our second podcast last week, Charlie wrote, "Hi Jay." No, he didn't even comment last week. I've just so that, there you go. We got bugger all email from our last podcast.
We got no email at all.
We did get some email, but I've deleted them. I've deleted them. UK Charlie, that's his name.
Pop Bitch.
Pop Bitch. That's a thing that you subscribe to, and it's really crap.
Jamie subscribes to Pop Bitch.
It's a celebrity thing. It's crap. You don't even want to listen to what we subscribe to it.
Well, how long have we been running?
60 minutes.
8 seconds.
9, 10, 11.
Shall we
12.
Wrap it up?
We'll wrap it up. I think we'll,
yeah, I think we should wrap it up a little bit now. So, that's goodbye from me, and goodbye from him.
Yeah, why? Are we going already?
We are going, I'm afraid. I'm going to drag you off the end.
Well, we can't actually do any music at the last, or any riffs, or anything like that, because the supercomputer has bollocked up.
The supercomputer has failed, has it? What's that then?
That's the main entrance thing.
Well, we can play the main entrance thing again.
Yeah, but it says, and now. And
well,
it's not now, it's ending.
I apologise for all those that have listened to the show so far, and I ask you all to ignore the and now. I'm
just listen to the music and
final theme.
Well, should we just the actual? Yeah, we had this professionally done, so you better appreciate it, biatches. Anyway, email us. The email address for me is jay@thedangerousman.com. The spelling of that is jay@thedangerousman.com.
And the email address for me, that is Ben, is ben@theunadulterated.com. The general email address for the entire podcast, have you any funny stories or a blog to suggest for Blog of the Week, is podcast@theunadulterated.com.
And we really, really, really want to hear from you. We do. We'd love to hear from you. We'll wank over it if you email us, won't we?
I certainly
together.
Will. Oh, yes. I look forward to it.
Yep.
Video footage shall follow.
Yep. Please email us. And also, next week we'll maybe talk about other stuff. Anyway, we've got to end it now because Ben's given me evils and we've done over our 60 minutes and we're going to run out of stuff. So and we're going to run out of our space on our server. So
we
we'll
so we'll say goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Remember, it's not now, it's ending.
And now the Unadulterated Podcast.